Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 3. In verse 3, the Word of God says, "What if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect?" That's a very good question. It seems kind of an obvious question, but this question is actually very problematic to some people. If somebody doesn't believe, does that change the faithfulness of God? And it's not talking about you that doesn't believe, it's talking about them. Young people, this is going to happen to you, and the older you get, the more it will happen. There will be people who do not believe, and you will encounter them, and you will have to deal with their unbelief. Nowadays, there is a big problem in schools. High schools is where it starts in particular. Actually, probably now in middle schools it starts, or maybe even younger, but it's definitely a very serious problem in colleges. Young Christian people who were raised with truth from the Word of God, they get to college or sometimes to high school, and their teachers or their professors are people who do not believe in God. In some cases, they're outright atheists, and atheist means against God. But in some cases, they are even against God. In some cases, these teachers or professors may just say, "Well, I don't know." But in any case, they are not Christians. They don't believe. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the Bible. And they don't even see the value of it. Now, statistics show us that of the Christians that enter into colleges, only 10% finish college and still believe. That is mind-boggling. The problem with that is because 90% therefore enter into falsehood. They enter those things which are not true. They enter those things which are lies, and they accept them. Now, they don't think to themselves, "I'm going to accept it, it's a lie." No, they get dissuaded, they get distracted. Their eyes are taken off the Word of God and put onto other things, and they stop functioning in faith because some person says, "No, I don't think it's like that. It's like this." Well, Romans 3 and verse 4 continues, and it answers the question, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? And in verse 4, Paul says, "Certainly not. Certainly not." And then he continues, "Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar." Not just one man, every man. If you take all of the people in the world, and if they say God is wrong, the Bible is wrong, then God says about them, every person who says God is wrong, even if it is every person in the world, they are liars, they are wrong, they are false, they are in error. God doesn't depend on numbers of people agreeing with him for anything. People will want other people to agree with them. And sometimes if other people don't agree with them, they get very insecure about it. God does not get insecure about it. It's like taking your toys and saying, "Well, my toy cars or my Barbies, they have to agree with me in order for me to be right." God is not like that. He made us. To him, we are similar to something, a toy or a tool or whatever, a statue, whatever, that he has made. He doesn't really worry about who agrees or who doesn't agree. God is true, and whoever doesn't agree is a liar. That's what he says. That's his word. He's the one who made them. He holds their atoms together. He's extremely kind to continue holding these people's atoms together. But it's still the truth. God is true, even if every man is a liar. God is still true. If people say the word of God is not true, the Bible is not true, God is not true, it is not real, it doesn't exist, it is a fantasy, it's a fable, and this is what some people will say. Know that they are not telling you the truth. They are liars. Sometimes they don't even know that they're lying. But nevertheless, they are liars because they are not speaking the truth. It doesn't matter who agrees. It doesn't matter who disagrees. God is telling you the truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. And then it continues, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. The word of God is proof unto itself. This is what I mean by that. Sometimes we don't understand fully how the things in the Bible can be. One very good example, one of my favorites, is Jericho. We're told that Joshua defeated Jericho. Joshua was the man who came after Moses as the leader of Israel. And Jericho was a very powerful city. It was a very strong fortress of a city. Yet Joshua defeated Jericho, and he didn't even have to do a lot to defeat it. God made the walls fall over. The Bible says that the walls fell down. That's the English translation. But in the original language, it says the walls fell over. So it's not like they crumbled and came down. No, it's one wall fell on its side, and this was a double-walled city. That means it had two walls right next to each other, and the other wall fell right on top of it. And for a long time, archaeologists were looking for Jericho, and they couldn't find it, and they thought maybe the Bible was wrong. But then they decided to look where the Bible said it was. Go figure, what an idea. And you know, they found Jericho. They found the walls of Jericho. And one wall fell on top of the other wall, and both were on their side. Walls don't just fall like that. But these walls fell over. They didn't just fall, they fell over onto their side. Just like the Bible said. Now, the Word of God tells us that when Joshua took Jericho, he burned the city. And indeed, the archaeologists found that the city was burned down. It's exactly like the Bible said. A lot of people said, no, not true, not true. No, it was exactly as the Bible said. And now archaeologists have found the evidence. They found the city, and it's exactly like the Bible says. You are justified whenever you believe what the Bible says. In other words, when you believe what the Bible says, you're right. It doesn't matter who disagrees. When you believe what the Bible says, you're right. If a professor with 5 doctor degrees says the Bible is wrong. Do not buy into this. The Bible is never wrong. Stay with the Bible. It doesn't matter who disagrees with you. Believe what the Bible says and you will always be right. Let God be true and every man a liar. The fact that somebody doesn't believe doesn't mean the Bible is wrong. It means they don't believe. They are wrong. It's like, imagine if I said there is no moon because it's that time of month where the moon is dark. And that just happens because of the way that the sun reflects off the moon. In certain times of the month, the moon is going to be a position where you can't see the reflection. The moon didn't go away. But it's the same, it's as though somebody is saying, well, look, there is no moon. Do you see a moon in the sky? There is no moon. You know very well the moon exists. It's just that part of the month where you can't see its reflection. Yeah, the moon's there. Wait a couple of days, you'll see it again. And it's just like that with God. The word of God is true. Wait a little while and you'll see it come through for you. You'll see that it's true. You'll know the reality of it. You stay firm in what you believe. Now, John 17:16 says, they are not of the world. And this is Jesus speaking to the Father about us. We are not of the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. In 1 Peter 2:11, we are strangers and pilgrims. We're simply passing through, like you're on some trip somewhere. Maybe you're going to, I don't know, Oklahoma, and you happen to make a stop in St. Louis. And you make a pit stop in St. Louis, you get something to eat, you use the bathroom, you rest for a little while, and then you keep driving. That's what it's a picture of. You're passing through the world, but you're not of the world. In Revelation 21:2, we are from the New Jerusalem. That's our home. The world is not our home. The New Jerusalem is our home. The New Jerusalem is the city that is located in heaven. Heaven is like a country, and the New Jerusalem is its capital city. We belong to the New Jerusalem. When you go to heaven, where are you going to go in heaven? You're going to go to the New Jerusalem. That's a city. It's a fantastic city. It's amazingly beautiful. You're going to go to the New Jerusalem. You are citizens of the New Jerusalem if you are born again. And of course, you guys are. So we are not of the world, just like Jesus was not of the world. He came, he stayed a little while, and then he left again. And he left his Holy Spirit in us, in John 16. So, he didn't abandon us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us, but he didn't stay here all that long. We're not going to stay here all that long either. We were born. Eventually, we will die. Now, hopefully, that'll be a long time. But, it's going to come. And then we die. And we go to heaven, to the New Jerusalem, and that is our home. That is where we belong, in the New Jerusalem. Don't look for a place in the world to be your specific belonging place, to say, this is where I belong. You belong in the New Jerusalem. The world will never accept people because the world doesn't know how to love people. God accepts people because he loves people. Christians who know God accept people because they love people. And this is where you find acceptance. In the New Jerusalem, the biggest characteristic you will experience is the love of God. So you will always be accepted. You will always be welcome. You will always have a place with God. And ultimately, after your time here is done, and only God can decide when that comes, then you will have New Jerusalem as your permanent home. That's a great place. There are people that have been there, Paul being one of them, and in some people's cases, the doctors resuscitate them. In other words, they get their heart going again to get them back to life in this world, and they tell you about it. And they say it is amazing. A lot of people get there and they don't want to leave, is what we are told. But the plan of God is not finished for them here on earth, and so he sends them back in many cases. But then, of course, there are those, the plan of God is that they do stay there. Now, in verse 17 there, Jesus says, the word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. In 2 Timothy 3:16, God spoke the Word of God. He spoke it to people who then wrote it down. Just like a boss might have a secretary and he'll tell the secretary if the secretary could write a letter for him, and he tells the secretary what to write and the secretary writes it. Well, in the same way, God spoke the Word of God and people wrote it down as God spoke it. So when you read the Bible, when you hear messages from the Bible, you're hearing the Word of God. So long as it's the Bible. So long as it's not just somebody's opinion. But if it's the Bible, it's the Word of God. The way that the Father sent Jesus into the world, God also sends us into the world. And He sends us into the world so that we can tell other people about Jesus so they can go to heaven. He sends us into the world so that we can become equipped and we have opportunities for rewards in the world. Those opportunities will not be present in heaven, so we take full advantage of the opportunities we have in the world. And that way, we get rewards in 1 Corinthians 3. We've been sent here, but not permanently. If I recognize that the Word of God is truth, I can have a proper relationship to everything and everyone in the world. But it requires me to recognize that the Word of God is truth. Now, some people will say, I want proof. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is our proof. Now, they don't necessarily understand that always because they want something they can look at. But understand that looking at something doesn't give you proof. The way that eyesight works, what you think you see and what is actually there can be two different things. It's because the way that the eyes work, they send a message to the brain. I'm not going to get into the mechanics of it. That's a little more complicated than we want to get into today. But in a nutshell, the eyes send a message to the brain. The brain receives the message and it has to decode it. It has to understand what the message is saying. And according to the message that the brain understands, it paints a picture for you. Happens very, very quickly. But it paints a picture for you. And that picture is often based on something in your brain. You could call it a catalog. It's not really a catalog in your brain, but it works like a catalog. In other words, you have all these pictures that you stored up in your memory, and then the information is compared to those pictures to get the correct interpretation, the translation of what you see. Now, has it ever happened to you that you thought you saw something that you didn't actually see? It wasn't actually there, but you thought you saw it. The most common one is if you're in a dark room, you might see a black cat. That happens to a lot of people, and it's usually just like a shadow or something. And they see it outside of the corner of their eye, and it looks like a cat to them, a black cat. And then they look again, and they realize, oh, that wasn't a cat, that was a shadow. Sometimes we see people maybe in a distance and we think we recognize them. We say, oh, it's this person. And then we see them a little more closely. Oh, no, that's not them. That's the brain misinterpreting the information that the eyes have sent it. That can happen. You see, the fact that we can see, as important and useful as that is, it's not rock solid evidence. We see sometimes according to what we expect to see. In other words, the eyes send a message to the brain, and the brain will paint whatever it expects the message to be, but sometimes the message is different. Proof is not in the things we see, because those things are very limited. Proof is in faith. Through faith, in verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The worlds were made by the Word of God. Now, we can look at the worlds and we can say, how in the world were these made? But we find that they were made by the Word of God. A lot of people don't understand what that means. And so they doubt that in some cases. But not that long ago, there was a very famous astronomer, very good astronomer, a man named Huygens, who found that the universe is actually made of information. In other words, what is it that makes up all the stuff in the universe? And he said, it's actually information. Now, if that seems strange to you, what he means is that whatever the things are that are out there that make everything else up, they're put together in such a way that you could actually interpret them and get a message from them. They are information. And this is a very strange thought to people, but that's exactly what the Word of God is saying. That the worlds are made of the Word of God. Information. Now, a lot of people are still not aware of this. But people have known this for, I guess, maybe around 20 years or so, maybe a little longer. That the universe is actually made of information. Faith allows you to accept and utilize, to use practically that information. It gives you reality. As long as it is faith in the Word of God, you will live in reality. So if anyone at all tells you, no, it's not true, that person is a liar. They may not understand why it's true, but that makes no difference. The fact that I don't understand why something is the way it is doesn't mean it's not the way it is. Let God be true and every man a liar. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.